you can get away with anything. To prove it is my sport. I live to push the boundaries, to break the rules, in short.
Since March of 2020, the Federal Trade Commission has logged in almost 270,000 COVID-related complaints at the cost of almost $200 million to the victims. From here in New Mexico, the FTC to date has received almost 1,000 such complaints. What are these COVID cons? How are they perpetrated? And what can consumers do about it? I talked with Amy Nofsinger, Director of Fraud Victim Support at AARP, to find the answer to these and other questions. AARP is the nation's leading advocate for older Americans. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
Amy, first of all, why don't you give our listeners a quick overview of the AARP Fraud Watch Network?
The AARP Fraud Watch Network is a free resource for anyone of any age, and you do not have to be an AARP member to access any of the information that we have. We have watchdog alerts that go out biweekly via text or email. So one of the things that we also have with the Fraud Watch Network is our Fraud Watch Network helpline. We get about 450 calls a day to the helpline. So by using the reports that are coming into the helpline, we're able to turn those into the watchdog alerts. And so you're getting, within 2 weeks, the latest frauds and scams that are happening in your area.
And are older Americans particularly susceptible to the COVID scams in particular?
Well, everyone has a target on their back. I mean, honestly, the scammers don't care who they victimize. But we do know that older adults are targeted more frequently because, honestly, they hold the majority of wealth in the United States, and the scammers know this. Older adults have worked hard to, you know, get wealth, right? Perhaps they're retired, or maybe they don't have as much wealth, and they're out there looking for supplemental ways to get income, and that's another way that scammers target them. But, you know, doesn't matter how old you are or what your education level is, anything like that, you know, we all have a target on our back, and that's why learning the red flags is so important.
Okay. Now, tell us about some of the scams going on in America now related to COVID-19.
Well, there are a lot, and some of them are directly related to COVID-19. Like, especially in the beginning, we saw a lot of, you know, phony cures, you know, magic oils that you could rub on to make you immune to the virus. Certainly, we saw a lot of scams surrounding the first stimulus payment. But then there's also the kind of peripheral COVID-19 scams that we're seeing. And those have to do with, you know, what's happening in our lives right now. So for many of us, you know, we're isolated in our homes, and we thought it would be a great time to bring in a furry friend, as some people affectionately call them, the pandemic puppies. And so we've seen a lot of pet scams, and these are just heartbreaking because, you know, you're looking to emotionally connect with an animal and to bring you joy and happiness. And then the scammers are out there. They're setting up fake websites to lure you in to purchase these adorable animals. And let's just say it's not just puppies. We've had complaints about people being victimized with cat scams, kitten scams. And even more recently, we've had two bird scams where people were looking to purchase birds. So you connect with the breeder and the seller, and you find the perfect animal, and they say that, oh, well, because of COVID, we have to ship them the special way, and we're going to ask you to send this money. And they always ask it in a form of payment that's untraceable. So whether it's a prepaid gift card, wire transfer, or a peer-to-peer app, common names are Cash App, Venmo, and Zelle. Those are to be used for friends and family only, not to be purchasing pets online. But these are really sad stories. And then another one we've seen an increase in our romance scams. People are lonely and they want to connect with people. And the scammers are lurking on legitimate dating websites, you know, hoping to lure you in. But they're also on Facebook. They're on social media games like Words with Friends. So you might not even be looking for love. You might just be looking for someone to chat with. And you form a relationship, and the next thing that you know, they have a crisis and they need you to send money. And it's just, it's all a scam.
Now, I understand that they're actually, and it amazes me that people would take advantage of a crisis like we have in America today with COVID-19, but that they are actually offering antibody tests that are phony. They have fake test sites for COVID-19, and even fraudulent contact tracers. How widespread is this sort of thing?
You know, it's really hard to tell because oftentimes if people do get victimized by one of these scams, they might not even know it for a couple months or even years afterwards, right? So that's why it's so important to learn about them before you get any of these phone calls or text messages. You know, when it comes to COVID-19 testing and an antibody test, it's, you know, our recommendation is to absolutely use a local medical facility, whether that's your local hospital, whether that's your doctor's office. We live in areas that have health departments. You know, go to the health department and find out who they are recommending on their website to get your testing from. You certainly do not want to get any medical treatment from someone who has not been approved to do it. And then you certainly do not want to give them your personal information. You know, myself, I went through COVID in September, and so I experienced the contact tracing through the health department. You know, they do not ask you your social security number. They do not ask you your credit card number or any financial information about, you know, yourself. That is not what their job is. Their job is to find out, you know, what your symptoms are, where you have been, who you might have been in contact with. It's really to keep us safe. But if you get any phone calls like that from anyone saying that they're a contact tracer, asking you for financial information or like your social security number, I would say, you know, I'm not comfortable giving you this over the phone. I'm going to go call my health department back at the phone number I have for them to make sure that, one, you're legitimate, and two, I'm supposed to be answering questions like this.
I understand that schemes are abroad during the pandemic to steal stimulus checks and unemployment benefits. How does that work? What's that about?
So the stimulus checks in the beginning, when they were, you know, especially debating it, and it was all on the news, right? The scammers were saying, you know, we can get you your stimulus check faster. We just need your social security number or a prepayment for your stimulus, right? And we knew that that's not how it was going to work. If you were due a stimulus payment for COVID-19, it was going to come automatically to where your last known address with your taxes were, or it was going to be put into the bank account where you filed with the IRS, right? And so, and you can't jump to the head of a line with any of this stuff, but that's certainly what the scammers were trying to do. And with the unemployment benefits, this is just huge because so many people were losing their jobs. I mean, millions of people lost their jobs. The scammers were filing unemployment for people that didn't even lose their job or weren't even working. And the unemployment offices were trying to respond so quickly that the scammers were able to get away with a lot of this. We're probably up to 1,000 calls now on the helpline of people that have called us saying that someone filed for unemployment in their name. And they're scared, right? They're scared. They're a victim of identity theft. And so they're now having to go through the processes to get this, you know, resolved. We know that some of these unemployment criminals have been found, and some of them more recently in California, they were working from inside the prison, and they were actually prisoners who were filing unemployment in people's names.
Leaving no stone unturned, the COVID con artists have engaged in economic scams like stock fraud, phony relief for student loans, and credit card debt. Tell us about these scams, if you will.
Scammers, well, they won't stop at anything, right? So they'll look in the headlines, they'll see the stock market swings, they'll see that people are, you know, drowning in debt, whether it's student loans or credit card, and they'll offer you any fake opportunity. So where we're seeing a lot of these come through is the phone and actually social media. So we've gotten reports from people getting phone calls saying that the government is wiping all of your credit card debt because of COVID-19. That's certainly not true. And of course, the scammers want something, personal information, money, something like that. But, you know, the thing that the bottom line for these scammers is they want to get you under the emotional ether. That's what we call it. That's where the scammers get you thinking with your emotions and not with your brain, really, not with rational thinking. And so if you received a phone call and someone said, we're going to wipe out your credit card debt, and let's say you have $10,000 of debt, all of a sudden you're thinking, oh my gosh, how lucky am I? I'm so blessed to have this opportunity, that you're not thinking in your rational mind. Like, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, why would they do that? How much is that going to cost? Right. And so that's what these scammers do. So it's the same thing with social media. So you're on, let's say, Facebook or Instagram or any of the social media sites out there, and you get a message from someone that says there's a government grant. And oftentimes it comes from someone that you have a connection with. And it's just that that person is a victim themselves and their page has been hacked. But if you open up your Facebook Messenger and see, you know, a message from, let's say, your cousin, and it says, you know, hey, Mary Lou, you know, I got this government grant and they are giving them out to people over the age of 50 who, you know, live in the Southwest, anything like that, you click on the link. It might download malware on your computer, but it's also going to ask you to prepay with a credit card, you know, debit card, prepaid, gift card, anything like that. And it's just, it's ultimately going to leave you a victim of one of their scams.
So really, anytime somebody asks for money, gift card payment, or personal identity information, such as Social Security, you need to think twice and basically hang up if it's the phone, and if it's online, don't click. Is that right?
Absolutely right. I mean, it doesn't matter if there's like 70 known scams out there right now or what the scam is. The bottom line, any of these scams have those common threads. So if you get that phone call or you get that text message or the email or however it comes to you, and they're asking for any of those things that you said, prepaid gift cards, money, wire transfer, Social Security number, those are those red flags and buzzwords that people need to watch out for. If it is one of those things, stop. Stop and check it out.
Now, we've covered what's going on in the world of pandemic fraud. Help us understand the how of it all. How do the scammers do their dirty deeds? You've covered some of that.
Big business. It's, you know, we're beyond the, you know, kid sitting in his parents' basement hacking someone online. I mean, certainly that still happens, but these are huge criminal operations, huge call centers, and they're structured very similarly to legitimate businesses. You know, they have a manager, a closer, a salesperson, you know, someone who goes and launders some money. I mean, they are big business.
Let me stop you for a second.
Yeah.
Are they based in the U.S.? Are they foreign or both?
Both. They're both. And, you know, the thing is, it's really hard to catch these guys. And that's why the pre and the prevention of it all is so important than the after. You know, I've talked to a lot of people who, you know, they want to see this person arrested and, you know, in jail. And it's just like I have to kind of break the news to them that that is very, 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 well, more very, very difficult to do. And that's why the pre is so important to make sure that we don't lose any money to them. But, you know, what they're looking for is they're looking for the easy ways to transfer the money. And that's why the prepaid gift cards are so popular. Prepaid gift cards, wire transfer, and these peer-to-peers, because the money is virtually untraceable. So even if you did bring in law enforcement, it's really hard to track where that money went and how many times it bounced around the world before it finally got into the boss's hands, so to speak. You know, and we're seeing with our 450 calls a day, we're seeing a lot of these scams still come in over the telephone. So, you know, my best advice is unless you absolutely know who is calling you on the phone, don't pick up. Let it go to voicemail. And often people will say, well, what if it's my doctor's office or it's an emergency? Well, if it is, they will leave you a message. They will leave you a voicemail. But by just not even picking up the phone, you're putting up a barrier to some of these scam calls. And then honestly, if you don't pick up, your name, because the scammers use things called auto dialers, your name it'll drop to the bottom of the list. Right. But the more you engage, the more you talk to them, the more you ask them questions, your name is going to stay on that call list and they're going to continue to call you. And with email, if you get anything suspicious, just delete it. It's the easiest thing you can do. Mark it as spam and delete it. Don't even pay any attention to it.
Now, let's say you're a consumer and you think you've been the target of a COVID con. What do you do?
First, you report it. Even if you haven't lost money or personal information, it's really important to report these. And you can report them to your state's attorney general's office, law enforcement, or, you know, to our helpline. And the data that we collect on the helpline, we do share it with the Federal Trade Commission. And so our data does go into the Consumer Sentinel consumer book, which is great because that's where a lot of law enforcement agencies go to find information about these cases. So it's really important to report it. And that's how, you know, regulators and folks like myself know what scams are happening out there. And so then we can help warn other people, especially with the power of AARP. If we get a call on a Monday about a new scam, and we can let people know Monday night about the new scam that is happening. Sadly, if you have been a victim of a scam and you have lost money, personal information, it's even more important to report it. You know, for some reason in our society, we like to blame the victims of financial scams and frauds. They're not to blame. It's the criminal that's to blame. And these victims need support just like anybody. But for some reason, we like to point fingers at them and say they should have known better. So it's really important for victims to reach out for assistance. And that's why our fraud specialists on the helpline are so important, because they listen and they provide an empathetic ear. They've talked to thousands of victims, right? So your story is not going to necessarily be new to them, and they're not going to judge you like maybe your friends and family would. And if a friend or family member does come up to you and say that they have been a victim of a fraud or a scam, I mean, my best advice is to always lead with compassion and empathy. Anger does not work in these situations at all. I have talked to countless of victims who are just, they're sad, and they go and tell their family and friends, and then they're even more sad because their family's just disappointed in them. And that's not how we should treat these victims.
We will post your AARP hotline number when we post the podcast of this story on the KSFR.org website. Thanks very much to our AARP fraud expert, Amy Nofsinger, for taking us on a tour of fraud in the time of COVID. For KSFR, I'm Mary Lou Cooper.
Yes, I can get away with everything because I have a no. Shame, 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 shame.